Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Right Now Weekly Radio Show, hosted by Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Publishing, home of best-selling books, award-winning magazines, global broadcasts, and communities. Right Now is a highly educational, inspiring, and empowering show focused on writing, publishing, and marketing your books, featuring outstanding guests from across the globe, including best-selling authors, world stage speakers, thought leaders, and visionaries with proven strategies, secret formulas, and treasured resources to help you succeed and make an impact. Welcome, sit back, and enjoy the show. And now your host, Vicki Winterton.
Hi, this is Vicki Winterton, and I'm thrilled because today with us we have Jill Meridian. Jill is both the creator and master teacher of the Synergenic Way, the artful science of soul fulfillment. The Synergenic Way is a structured approach to reestablish unification, alignment, and balance into the body, the mind, the emotions, and the spirit for purposeful and self-empowered healing and spiritual evolution. For more than 25 years, Jill has dedicated herself to learning from leading experts in their specific field of knowledge. Her ability to understand pathology and pain from a multidimensional perspective has allowed her to assist thousands of people to transform disturbances in their health and sense of well-being. Jill's skill is to track the evolution of a person's soul and recognize the signs and symptoms associated with spiritual misalignment. And this is what makes her sought after internationally. Jill, welcome. Thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Jill, I know that in addition to the amazing work that you have been doing with people all over the globe, your life has also been touched by cancer, and you have been so generous in being willing to share with us some of your experiences in our bestseller, Cancer from Tears to Triumph. Tell us a little bit about how your life's been touched by cancer.
Oh, Vicki, it's like been touched in so many different ways, and starting from a very young age and not stopping until very recently. I would have to go back to the 70s when I was a child. I had a grandfather who was an inventor and a scientist, and he began the conversation. So I was listening as a young child about all his beliefs in things that cause cancer, and he was way ahead of his time talking about things like cigarette smoke and smoking and emissions and preservatives in foods and things like that that other people had yet to even begin to think about as being in any way destructive and potentially inviting cancer. So that was my first introduction to the word. And then in my family, there have been many deaths to cancer. So only a few years, you know, I think I was about 12, my aunt died of a brain tumor that was cancerous. And then a little bit later, a grandmother, my father's mother, died of stomach cancer. And then a good decade later, my father and brother were both diagnosed with cancer, and my brother only survived for 5 months with it, having taken the approach of chemotherapy. But my father lived for another 11 years. And so, needless to say, there was a tremendous amount of cancer that was, you know, touching me very deeply and my family very personally. So, you know, those were sort of the first experiences of impact, we'll say, of cancer in my life. And since then, you know, I'm a practitioner and healer, so I have worked with many, many people who have had life-threatening illnesses and cancer, to be specific. So it's touched me a lot. And then, unfortunately, at about age 38-ish, I was diagnosed with cancer myself, and that was uterine cancer. So I can say I've been thoroughly touched by cancer.
My goodness. So tell me, I mean, you had all of this experience with people, you know, external to you, even though they were close and family members and people you loved. But when it actually hit you, tell us a little bit about what you learned from that experience, now living that yourself.
Well, fortunately and unfortunately, I had been able to bear witness on the path that many of my family members took in order to try to heal and resolve the diagnosis. So I had a little bit of a finger on the pulse of what was working, what wasn't working, what kind of symptoms indicated something was working and what was indicating something wasn't working. So all of that as a base of knowledge and or experience was helpful when it came time for me to address my own situation. But more than anything else, I learned from the experience that it's really a personal journey. It's completely and utterly between you and you. Like the you that is currently diagnosed and the you that's perfect and already whole and healthy that lives within you. And my journey was to reconnect with that part of myself that could be my best advocate and guide and wisdom teacher so that I could take each step in faith that I was being guided by a source that only wanted to steer me correctly. And I had a background in my education that gave me some confidence. I think, you know, what I learned from the experience and what I set out to learn from the experience was whether my education, which was in vibrational medicine and transformation, had the power to do what it said it could do, which was to transform disease. And I decided I'd put my life on the line to find out because I had already dedicated 25 years of my life to practicing it. So now it was a little bit like time to put your money where your mouth is and put a stake in the ground and say, I'm going to determine this myself, kind of like be my own experiment. That was the central, most specific learning, I think, or challenge, we'll say. And then there was learning, which had to do with the process.
So tell me a little bit about the process of making these decisions. I know you said that you had so much faith and so much learning and experience with others who had taken other paths and so forth. So how did that impact you from the standpoint of a level of confidence? I mean, did you have shaky moments when you had self-doubt about the route you were taking? Because I assume you took a more holistic route.
Yes, but my route was probably different than what most people think of as holistic. It was really vibrational. So what that meant was that I was interested in transforming what I refer to as disturbances at the psycho, emotional, and spiritual level to have an effect on the matter, literally the physical body. So my job became sort of excavating for anything that was residing in my unconscious that actually was producing a disturbance and or a drain on my biological body from its ability to stay strong and heal. So I became really invested in getting really still and listening to what I was being instructed. So I would ask myself, for example, I would sit down and I would ask a question of myself, like, why am I finding this difficult? And I would actually hear or sense or perceive, sometimes it came in the form of an image of myself doing something that seemed a little outrageous or peculiar or almost hard to understand as an answer to that question. But I would take it as like a lead. I went for it in the spirit of this is a treasure hunt and I'm going to find me and I'm going to find my help. And so what would happen is more often than not, I would have presented different challenges that were fearful for me, like trying to think of one that's kind of odd, but they were all kind of fearful. This is one that was peculiar. I saw myself without having ever studied belly dancing for my entire family. And I thought, what the heck does that mean? But when I then asked that question, what does that mean? Why is that important? What purpose would that serve? Then I was more thoroughly informed by having levels of information open up to me that without that question, I had no reason to ask a question about the image of the belly dancing. So, for instance, I wanted to know why would that be important. First, I felt the chill of, like, scary, like, that would be weird and hard to do. And then I asked the question, why? And then I got all this information about the lineage I came from, which is Armenian, and that so many people in my family had been killed in the genocide 100 years ago, and that there was still a wound to the lineage of my family, my specific family, and joy was difficult for them to feel. And when I, you know, as a practitioner, thought about the fact that why is that important, joy resided in the second chakra, and that's where the cancer was, and that's where my father's cancer was. So I thought, oh, okay, that's significant. And so I would step over the fear and just be obedient to whatever the request was of this, I'm calling higher self of mine, and go ahead and do what it had suggested I do. Most of the time, I didn't understand why I had to do these things, and most of the time, I was confronted by a great deal of fear that rose up, which informed me that there was, in fact, a lot of energy being used to suppress that fear. So, in fact, that was causing a drain to my system. So I just went with this general premise that I'm going to sit still and listen, and I'm going to get this next step, and the next step is going to reveal to me what I'm supposed to do, and I'm just going to be obedient and do it, and I'm going to find out how it affects me. And on the other side of the world, and this is where vibrational medicine is really, like, it was cutting edge at the time, I was working with a woman who worked with a technology called bioresonance therapy. Now, bioresonance therapy meant that she had a drop of my blood that represented my being, and she could tell me by her tool that measured the frequency of my body and the disturbances or lack thereof to tell me how effective each action step I made that was guided by my higher self, how effective it was at reducing the disturbance in my field, which was playing a part on how it was allowing the body to continue to create cancer. So I was back in, like, we did this through the computer because with my blood, she could evaluate that and just send me an email and say, well, that was very effective. On the emotional level, you just gained, you know, this many points towards clearing your system. And so it was practitioner with practitioner. I was working with someone. I really strongly believe in that and medicine, and I think it's the medicine of the future in terms of our technology and the possibilities of technology. But anyways, that's an example of how that went. I also resourced healers around the world that I had been exposed to during my career who I knew had specialty abilities, psychic surgeons, for example, from the Philippines, and mediums and Akashic record readers and all of these things that are very much vibrational medicine, very unconventional. But for me and my system, the most sort of dense of physical medicine that seems to work for me, which is very vibrational, is homeopathy. So that's the course I took, and it was a magical mystery tour, for sure. But I guess your question is, what have I learned from the experience? I mean, yeah. If I were going to reduce it down to what is the, like, core that I learned, is that alignment with your spirit and having the resources, like all your energy being feeding your soul as opposed to your fears, is the requirement for health. So I, at this stage, believe that our jobs, when we are confronted with any kind of breakdown in our health, especially life-threatening, is to reincarnate by letting go of the attachments we have to whatever the form is that we've defined our life by, so that we can transform and evolve beyond the present indication that it's not working on behalf of our soul.
Wow, that is really, really powerful. And did you get to a point where you just had no doubt about it, and just did that start at the very beginning, or did that take some time for you to establish an ease with this?
I think my understanding grew about the truth or power of this as I got the feedback from the bioresonance therapist for what initially felt kind of far out to me when it came to some of the higher self requests for, you know, paving a path towards health. But as I was doing it, I was realizing I was not only liberating myself, but I was liberating those who were connected to me at times, like in the case with the belly dancing. I mean, I watched as I walked into the room pretending, you know, I just had to imitate a belly dancer. I didn't really have any background in it. And I just sort of did this Academy Award-winning act of being a belly dancer. And I watched all the men that were kind of between their 70s to 90s in the family be horrified. The look on their face was like pure terror. And by the time I was finished, they were all laughing and enjoying themselves and sharing a level of emotion with each other they had never, ever shared.
Wow.
I think it's powerful. Yeah.
That's incredible. So how has it changed your life? Because you were already on a really substantial spiritual path. But what does that look like now? How has it changed things for you?
Well, I think one of the things that's changed is that I have absolutely no uncertainty about the power of vibrational medicine. And when someone is sincere that they want to take an unconventional route, I am very clear about what it takes. And that, you know, to say, oh, I want to do it holistically doesn't really cut it. So I ask them to sort of appreciate that if I'm going to work with them, it's a contract of an agreement that there are aspects of themselves that are really hidden and are likely to sabotage their superficial belief that they want to live. And we have to get down and dirty about the fact that there is a very strong aspect of their being that has given up and is looking for an exit opportunity. And so getting in touch with what this incarnation is about and figuring out what your soul contract is and getting about the business of getting in alignment with that, is there's no bones about it for me with them. And the certainty I carry about the power of it, I think, is transmitted from my field to their field, and it helps them feel how actually wobbly they are about that, and they go to a deeper level of consideration. What's really interesting, Vicki, is I have no judgment about it, but 90% or more of the people who say they want to live, when they're confronted with that level of certainty from me about what it takes, most of them say, I can't do it and don't want to do it. And they get clearer about the fact that they are making peace with the idea of dying, which is always surprising, but it's the reality that it's hard to make that kind of change for people. I am here for them, whether they are going to transform and reincarnate, as I say, in this life, in this body, into the being that they don't know yet, or support them in their exiting, you know, and kind of healing into death. But I'm there either way. I've learned that I cannot make myself available to the trickster nature of I want to live, but it's unconscious death wish is happening, because that's draining to me, and it's how I got myself in trouble in the first place.
Huh. Very interesting. You know, I had a near-death experience with blood clots, and almost everyone that I've interviewed, I think it's very interesting, who has had something very serious, especially if it's near death, where you're minutes or hours away from death. It's interesting because they've all said the same thing, and I can identify the exact moment when this happened to me, when I just decided I am not leaving. I do not want to go yet. And everyone I talk with has that kind of moment if they've had a near-death experience where it's turned around. It's very, very interesting to me. But I was airlifted out of our mountain area where we live that's really remote. And it was in that helicopter that I thought, you know, I have too much to do. I'm staying. And there was no doubt after that. It just was very interesting. Where several hours before that had been really filled with fear. So,
You know, I think one of the things I've learned, I could say, is that when you face death and you decide you're not going to be afraid of it at all, but you're going to get on with living, that's a really pivotal moment.
Yes.
Like, you can put a lot of energy into running from death, which is what happens in most cases while people are trying to survive. And I kind of put quotes around that. Because as long as they're trying to survive, they're actually being motivated and propelled by the fear of dying, which is not the same as having said, okay, death is something that could happen, but I'm not going to be afraid of that, and I'm going to focus on living and transforming.
Yeah, no question. What you're saying here is so powerful, and I can't thank you enough for sharing this with us. So, you know, since you've been through this and on so many different levels, you've been emotionally tied into this with loved ones that have passed, and then you yourself have faced the challenges that cancer can bring. Share some tips that may provide hope for others, if you would, because I know you are so filled with hope.
Yeah, I am. That you're here for a purpose, and it is possible to excavate and kind of find that purpose. And that when you're living on purpose, you can feel joy, and that's sort of an indication that you don't want to share with everybody that you've been diagnosed. That's a big tip, because I'm not saying it as meant to keep it a secret, but there are very few people who are able to hold that information and not start to project fear and worry on you for your death. Cancer is still a word that triggers a lot of fear and worry. And I think to take a moment to really assess who's in your life who can hold you in the level of confidence and support and belief in your ability to heal without kind of triggering a lot of fear that they then project onto you. And, you know, and kind of clutter your field up with their concern. I understand most people want to let their loved ones know, but in my case, I didn't, because so many people had died that I didn't think it was going to be useful at all to tell my family. But I didn't tell them specifically, and I didn't tell many people specifically, because I wanted to have the field around my being clear so that I could identify what was the whispers from my soul, rather than sort of intercept the worries that other people psychically were projecting. The other thing that I believe very much was my minute-to-minute practice, and it really was a minute-to-minute practice. I imagined myself kind of like a superhero with shields on my forearms, and if I had a negative thought, you know, anything that was fear or worry myself, I would see myself putting the shield up and blocking it from going into my heart or mind. It was a very active, like I said, minute to minute, because even though I was very dedicated to the process, we live in a world that bombards us with messages that are filled with fear and sort of projection of pain. you know, I did this activity, just made it playful, and it was extremely beneficial. I mean, that would be something I would suggest to somebody. Does that meet your question?
Yes, it absolutely does. And I wondered also, since you, in the process of going through this with family members, what advice would you give for family members to honor the person who's been diagnosed from the standpoint of their behavior?
I think I would say that what all souls seek is a kind of respect for choices they're making. So they want to be at peace and they want to feel respected. And I think that family members need to check in with themselves, and it can be a healing for the entire family. Whenever one member of a family gets sick, it really does have to do with the whole family. And the whole family can heal together if they're in the mindset that says that's what their intention is, and they're open and accepting of transformation within the whole family unit. Very difficult for one person to transform in a family unit if everyone's not willing to let go of things that no longer serve the whole.
Mm. That, Jill, is so beautifully put. Beautifully put. I can't tell you how powerful and elegant and beautiful this time has been with you. Thank you so much for sharing this with us.
Well, thank you, Vicki. It's been my pleasure to have a platform to share my story.
And I would love it if you would share with us how people might be able to connect with you. Do you have a website, Jill, where they could go to do that?
I do have a website. It is www.synergenicway.com.
Okay, and Jill, if you could spell that for us, just to be sure everyone gets it.
Okay, it's synergenicway.com. Now, let me define synergenic. It's a word I created, and I would love to see the word in the dictionary sometime, because to me it means the coming together of the parts of oneself so the soul can evolve. It's a real paradigm on how we take control of our health and our wellness.
That is so beautiful. Jill, thank you so much for being with us. Time has just flown, and again, it was just so lovely spending this time with you.
Thank you so much, Vicki. Nice to talk with you, too.
And for those of you out there who would like to learn more about Expert Insights Publishing, our best-selling books, award-winning magazines, our global broadcasting communities, you can find us at getei.com. That's G-E-T-E-I.com. And everyone have a fabulous week.